This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين، وأشهد أن نبينا محمد عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين، اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir, page by page. Inshallah ta'ala, today we're on page 135, which is in the 7th juz of the Quran, Surah Al-An'am. In the previous episode, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us some of the etiquettes that the believers should have and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam should have with the believers and that they should mutually have towards one another. And from those etiquettes is spreading the salam. When you make dua for someone else, that Allah azza wa jalla showers his peace and his safety upon your fellow brother or sister in this religion, that is from the greatest of greetings and salutations that you can give to another believer. And how Allah Azza wa Jal then mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it incumbent upon himself that he is all merciful, and that mercy extends to the believers in the way of them turning to Allah Azza wa Jal in repentance after having committed sins and evil deeds, and how Allah Azza wa Jal promises them that if they are sincere in their repentance and they rectify their affairs, that Allah Azza wa Jal is Ghafoor al-Rahim, oft forgiving, most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he should state his position with regards to the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal and his belief, and how he absolves himself from the ways of the mushrikeen and the disbelievers and those who rejected and denied Allah's oneness. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, in the final verse that we mentioned in the last episode, spoke about some of his powers, Jalla fi ula, some of his abilities and some of, therefore, the greatest reasons as to why we should believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and worship him alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone has the knowledge of the unseen. To him alone belong the keys of the unseen. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has intimate knowledge of everything that takes place upon the earth. Not a single leaf falls, nor is there a single grain in the heavens or the earth, a single atom. Nor is there anything that is withering or dying or that is full of life, nor anything hidden within the earth, except that Allah Azza wa Jalla has intimate knowledge of it. Nothing escapes the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is not just knowing about its presence or being slightly aware that it's there, but Allah Azza wa Jalla has intimate and intricate knowledge of each and every single detail, Jalla fi ula. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, in the verses that we're going to be covering today, will continue with this particular subject. Allah's blessings, or rather Allah's abilities and Allah's powers, Jalla fi ula, and therefore the reason why these are evidences in and of themselves to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how those people who turned away from Allah Azza wa Jalla disregarded these evidences, and based upon these evidences, how we should devote ourselves, submit ourselves to Allah Azza wa Jalla, love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submit to him in worship, devote ourselves to him, Jalla fi ula, praise him and honor him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse number 60, from where we begin today, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وهو الذي يتوفاكم بالليل ويعلم ما جرحتم بالنهار ثم يبعثكم فيه ليقضى أجل مسمى ثم إليه مرجعكم ثم ينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. It is he who calls your souls back by night, knowing what you have done by day, then raises you up again in the daytime until your fixed term is fulfilled. It is to him that you will return in the end, and he will tell you what you have done. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this verse, he speaks about his power, Jalla fi ula, and that is his power to give life and to give death, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, from the attributes of a God that is all-powerful, that is all-knowing, that is all-controlling, is that he alone has the power to give life and death, Jalla fi ula. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala determines who lives, how they come to this world, when they will come to this world, and how they will live in this life. And Allah Azza wa Jal determines their moment of death, and the manner of their death, and the place of their death, when their souls will leave. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ. And Allah Azza wa Jal says that it is he who calls your souls back by night. And Allah Azza wa Jal therefore calls our sleeping at night a type of death. As the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that sleep is the brother of death. And so when a person goes to sleep at night, their soul in one way leaves their body, and it is extracted from their body, not in the full sense, in the sense of the full death that takes place when a person leaves this realm, but it is a smaller type of death, because you no longer are conscious of what's going on. You don't really know what happens to you when you're asleep. You can't really control your movements. You dream, you see and experience things that you wouldn't otherwise experience when you're fully awake. That is all from the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah Azza wa Jal willed, as he mentions elsewhere in the Quran, Allah could withhold your soul during the night, meaning that it doesn't come back into your body as you wake up in the morning or as you wake up in the middle of the night. Allah Azza wa Jal, if he so wills, can keep that soul with him. And that is why there are people who die in their sleep. They go to sleep at night, they don't wake up in the morning. And that is why the beauty of our religion is found in that dua that we were taught by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are a number of du'as when it comes to going to sleep. But from them is the dua that we're all very, very familiar with. Bismika Allahumma amutu wa ahya. O Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. O Allah, with your name or by your name, do I live and do I die? And that is again acknowledging the fact that if Allah will, during that night that we sleep in, if Allah so willed, we wouldn't awaken the next morning. And there are, as we know, people that takes place or happens to. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُم بِالنَّهَارِ. And Allah Azza wa Jal knows what you do by the day. Meaning that then Allah Azza wa Jal can return your souls to you if He so wishes. And what you do during the day in terms of your deeds and in terms of your actions, that is something which Allah Azza wa Jal also has intimate knowledge of. And as we mentioned in the last episode, when it came to that verse that we concluded that episode with, Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about the knowledge of the unseen. And from the knowledge of the unseen is that Allah knows what every person will do the next day. Me and you, we have plans. We can make plans. We think that we will go to work, and when once we get to work, we're going to do X, Y, and Z, and we can make plans to visit people and to travel and to do other things. But whether that actually happens, that is only known to Allah Azza wa Jal. And how often do we make plans and those plans change? How often do we make plans and obstacles come in the way and they divert us from our plans? How often do we make plans and then we're not even able to fulfill those plans because of some calamity or hardship or difficulty that comes upon us? But Allah Azza wa Jal knows what will take place tomorrow. ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُكُمْ فِيهِ لِيُقْضَى أَجَلٌ مُسَمَّى. And then He raises you up again in the daytime until your fixed term is fulfilled. Meaning that there are some people who their souls are returned to them in the morning. They wake up and they continue because the time of their death has yet to come. And so Allah Azza wa Jal says, لِيُقْضَى أَجَلٌ مُسَمَّى, so that they can fulfill their fixed term. Every one of us has a term. As the Prophet told us sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when the child is in the womb and 120 days pass by, the angel comes down and it blows the spirit into the soul into the child. And then it writes by Allah's command a number of things. And from the things that it writes down is the lifespan of that child, how long they will live for. And that is something which is then recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so each and every single one of us has a fixed term upon this life. No one knows what it is except Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is why you have people who are young and healthy and fit, and they die in their 20s. And then there are people who are frail and old and have diseases and illnesses upon them, and some of them can live to over 100 years old. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who determines. And no doubt we should take the means by which we look after our health and we look after ourselves. That is something which is also part of our religion. But in the end, Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who determines how long a person will live for or how short their lifespan will be. And so Allah Azza wa Jal sends people back to this life, meaning every morning He allows them to rise up and awake and to continue their pursuit in this life until they fulfill that term. But when that term comes, there will be no escape. When that term comes, they will not be able to run away from that which Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed. There will be no way of delaying the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of death. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. And then after this you will return to Him in the end, meaning to Allah, and He will tell you what you have done in terms of your deeds and in terms of your actions. And that will be therefore the end of every single person. And that is the return to Allah Azza wa Jal and the accounting before Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla then says in verse number 61. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظَةً حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّطُونَ. He is the supreme master over all of his subjects. He sends out recorders to watch over you until, when death overtakes any of you, those sent by us will take his soul. They never fail in their duty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is Al-Qahir fawqa ibadih. He is the supreme master over all of His subjects. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who controls everything in this universe. Me and you think that we can do as we please and that we can go and do it. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to us free will to do as we please to an extent. But even that free will comes under the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that we have free will in that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has allowed us to have free will, whether we believe or whether we disbelieve, but we don't have free will in certain things. We didn't get to choose our parents. We didn't get to choose our ethnicity or the complexion of our sin or the way that we look. We don't get to choose our lifespan. We don't get to choose the circumstances that we're born in, the country that we're born in, the land that we're born in, the ethnicity or the tribe that we come from. These are things that Allah Azza wa Jalla determines. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supreme over all of His creation. There is nothing that you can do to oppose the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla. There is nothing that you can do to withstand the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this universe. You have free will when it comes to issues of belief or not believing, doing good or not doing good. But Allah Azza wa Jalla would hold us to account for all of that as well. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظًا. And He sends upon you those that record, the angels that record everything that you do, as Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in Surah Al-Infitar, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ. Upon you are those who record and watch, كِرَام and كَاتِبِينَ, noble angels that write down, يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ, they know all that you do. Allah Azza wa Jalla has placed to each and every single one of us angels that come and they record everything that we do, the good and the bad. And those are the deeds of records of deeds that we will be presented on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So if your good outweighs your bad, you will be given a record of deeds in the right hand. And if your evil outweighs your good, then that record of deed will be given to you in the left hand, as is mentioned elsewhere in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla has placed upon you those angels. And so whatever you are, whatever you're doing, however alone you may think you are, Allah Azza wa Jalla is always watching. And those angels are always recording. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ, until when the time of death comes, that lifespan that Allah determined comes, it has been fulfilled. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا, our angels will come and they will overtake them, meaning that they will take their souls away by Allah's command. Allah gives the command, the angel of death comes to take the soul from that person. Those angels will come and they will do as Allah commands. وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّطُونَ, and they never fail in their duty. The angels of death are not delayed. The angel of death doesn't miss an appointment. The angel of death doesn't get lost. The angel of death doesn't get confused because you have a name similar to another person, or you look like someone else, or you're identical twins, or whatever it may be. The angel of death and the angels that Allah Azza wa Jalla entrusts with the soul, لَا يُفَرِّطُونَ. They don't fail in their duty and they're not lax when it comes to fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from the universal decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah Azza wa Jal will command the angel of death to come to each and every single one of us and to take away our soul at the time of death. For the believers, that is the moment that they realize the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention elsewhere in the Quran, that the angels come and they give them the bushra and the glad tidings and the good news of the life that they lived in worship, in iman, in dutifulness to Allah Azza wa Jal, and that they will not grieve nor will they fear, and that everything that will come after this point, they will have the angels alongside them as their awliya, as their helpers, as their supporters, as their protectors, and Allah Azza wa Jal will give to them the angels as a means of welcoming them into the next life. But those who disbelieve, those who denied and rejected, they will see at that time the beginning of their torment, the beginning of their punishment, and they will realize the fallacy of that which they did in this life when they turned away from Allah Azza wa Jal and they rejected Him. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse number 62, ثُمَّ رُدُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ مَوْلَاهُمُ الْحَقَّ أَلَا لَهُ الْحُكْمُ وَهُوَ أَسْرَعُ الْحَاسِبِينَ. Then they will all be returned to Allah, their true Lord. The judgment truly belongs to Him and He is the swiftest of reckoners. Then Allah Azza wa Jal will cause all of us to turn back to Him. No matter what we did in this life, whether it was good or bad, no matter whether we believed or we didn't believe, after death the people will turn back to Allah Azza wa Jal. And that returning back to Allah Azza wa Jal begins from the very moment of death. And that existence in the grave until Allah Azza wa Jal decrees that Yawm al-Qiyamah will come, and then the people will stand before their true Lord. And on that day no one will dispute that Allah alone is the true Lord and God of all that exists. no other gods, no other lords that people took as gods besides Allah Azza wa Jal, no other deities that people worshipped besides Allah will be able to stand on that day and claim divinity. None of them will have any power. None of them will have any say or influence. So Allah Azza wa Jal will be their Mawlahum al-Haq, their one true Lord. Ala lahu al-hukm. And on that day, all judgment belongs to him. No one can come besides Allah Azza wa Jal and say, actually, I disagree, I dispute, I think that we should do this, or these are my followers, or these are my people, or these are the ones who followed me. No one will be able to come and dispute the judgment of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah, from his justice, from his fairness, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has already told us what his judgment will be. Allah has told us what you need to do in order to gain the favor of Allah Azza wa Jal and his mercy. And Allah has told you what will happen if you don't gain that favor and don't gain that mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ أَسْرَعُ الْحَاسِبِينَ. And he is the swiftest of all of those who give reckoning. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't require anything, doesn't take a long time. Allah will judge all of creation on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do as he pleases. Jalla fi ula. These verses that we've mentioned today, these are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are signs from Allah Azza wa Jalla that show that he alone is worthy of worship. So those people who then turn away from Allah, or they neglect Allah Azza wa Jalla, or they're heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where are you going? And what are you doing? And to whom are you hoping will give you, or from whom are you hoping salvation from? Where are you trying to find happiness in this life if it is not through the path that Allah Azza wa Jalla has laid down before you? And everyone that worships anything besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, they will not have the knowledge of their gods to the extent that we have in our religion. And that is the beauty of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. So people who follow any other god that they worship, if you were to ask them for the intimate details of their gods, in terms of their abilities and their names and their attributes and what they will do, they will give to you general details. And they won't be able to go into more specific details without contradicting themselves, without falling into some type of trap or something, because of the way that they themselves have concocted their versions of these divine beings or these deities. But Allah Azza wa Jal, for us, we know that everything that he says is true, that it's not contradictory, that there are no mistakes in it, because we take it from the most trustworthy of sources, and that is the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and the sunnah of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then in verse number 63, again speaks to the disbelievers, and this time he speaks to them again, asking them who they would worship besides Allah, these gods that they worship besides Allah, what they can do for them. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, قُلْ مَنْ يُنَجِّيكُمْ مِنْ ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ تَدْعُونَهُ تَضَرُّعًا وَخُفْيَةً لَئِنْ أَنْجَانَا مِنْ هَذِهِ لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Say, who is it that saves you from the dark depths of land and sea when you humbly and secretly call to him? And say, if he rescues us from this, we shall truly be thankful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore addresses, after mentioning the names and attributes and powers of Allah Azza wa Jalla, he addresses the disbelievers and he says, who saves you from the darkness of the land and the sea when you think and feel that you are in danger? And you yourselves are calling to Allah Azza wa Jalla in humility, in humbleness, and in secret. Because you don't openly claim to believe in Allah, you claim to worship other gods, but at that moment of danger and hardship, you only turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. You turn to the greatest of all of the gods that you claim to worship. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You call upon Allah Azza wa Jal, and you turn to Allah Azza wa Jal, and you ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you say, لَإِنْ أَنْجَيْتَنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ لَإِنْ أَنْجَانَا مِنْ هَذِهِ لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. If he rescues us from this, we shall truly be thankful. So even at that moment, you call upon Allah Azza wa Jal, and you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we know throughout the Quran that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions concerning the mushrikeen of the Arabs, that in those times of difficulty and desperation, they would turn to Allah Azza wa Jal alone, and they would make dua to Allah alone, and they would call to Allah Azza wa Jal alone. And even today you will find that people who often go on sea, people who are sailors, for, you know, whether that's for whatever reason they do that, whether that's their profession, or whether they're in the navy, or whatever it may be, you will see that they often have many superstitions about what will keep them safe from the possible dangers that they will find upon the sea. And likewise, you see from people in the olden days when they would travel by land and they would traverse great distances by land, the superstitions that they would have and the different things that they would do in order to keep them safe. And times of difficulty, because people know that they are Every human knows that they are just very small when it comes to the vast scale of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. The whole universe, we are a speck in that universe. What power do we have as individuals except very little? And so you turn to someone or to something that you think and that you believe is greater than the power that you possess and greater than the power of the universe that can control it. And you seek refuge in them and seek their help and seek their assistance. And so that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal is the one alone who has power over all things. Allah Azza wa Jal then says in verse number 64 that these people, once their du'as have been accepted, once Allah has responded to them, once Allah Azza wa Jal has given to them their safety that they requested, قُلِ اللَّهُ يُنَجِّيكُم مِّنْهَا وَمِن كُلِّ كَرْبٍ ثُمَّ أَنتُمْ تُشْرِكُونَ. Say, Allah rescues you from this and every distress, yet still you worship others besides Him. Allah does as you ask of Him and implore of Him and beseech of Him. And Allah helps you in other things as well and in other affairs. But still, you will turn and make shirk. Still, you will turn to other gods and worship them besides Allah Azza wa Jal. And if this is the case, then don't those people deserve to be punished by Allah? Don't they deserve that Allah Azza wa Jal should punish them because of the shirk that they commit? They turn to Allah, they make dua, they ask for Allah's help and assistance, and Allah responds to them. And then at times of safety and ease, there are people of negligence and people of heedlessness. And this is unfortunately something that you will find amongst Muslims. Times of calamity and hardship, they turn to Allah Azza wa Jal and they increase in salah. If they're not praying, they start praying. If they didn't normally read Quran, they start reading Quran. They don't usually make dua, they start making dua. They don't normally give sadaqah, now they give sadaqah. And then as soon as Allah Azza wa Jal makes their affairs easy again, they don't pray anymore. They don't read Quran anymore. They don't give any more sadaqah, no more dua. And so they become heedless. And even though these people are Muslims, but their characteristics or their methods are similar to the methods that Allah Azza wa Jalla is describing here about the disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these disbelievers therefore deserve the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he says in verse 65, قُلْ هُوَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِّن فَوْقِكُمْ أَوْ مِّن تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِكُمْ أَوْ يَلْبِسَكُمْ شِيَعًا وَيُذِيقَ بَعْضَكُمْ بَأْسَ بَعْضٍ انظُرْ كَيْفَ نُصَرِّفُ الْآيَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَفْقَهُونَ. Say, He has power to send punishment on you from above or from under your very feet, or to divide you into discordant factions and make some taste the violence of others. See how we explain our revelation in various ways so that they may understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says these people turn away from Allah and they commit shirk and they don't think that Allah will punish them. They don't think that the one who can control the heavens and the earth and who controlled the sea for them and made it safe for them during their travels, He doesn't have the ability then to punish them, to use that very ocean or to use the very universe that they sought Allah's help in controlling, that Allah can't then turn that around and use it as a means of punishment upon them. قُلْ هُوَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Say, He alone has the power to send punishment upon you. عَذَابًا مِّن فَوْقِكُمْ. Whether it comes from above you, أَوْ مِّن تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِكُمْ, or it comes from under your feet. So Allah Azza wa Jal can cause something to descend upon you from the heavens. Something that will come and destroy you from the heavens, as happened with many of the past nations. And even in our time, even if it's not in the guise of the punishment like happened with Ad and Thamud and others, Allah Azza wa Jal can send upon us thunder, can send upon us lightning, can send upon us hurricanes, can send upon us typhoons, can send so many different types of calamities that a person, that people can die within, or that can be their ending and their destruction. أو من تحت أرجلكم, or that punishment can come from below your feet, meaning underneath you, from beneath you. Whether that be an earthquake upon the land, or whether that be the oceans, when you're in and you become drowned, you are drowned within the waters of the seas and the oceans, Allah Azza wa Jal can punish you in either direction, from above or from below. أو يلبسكم شيعة, or He can divide you into factions and into groups, وَيُذِيقَ بَعْضَكُمْ بَأْسَ بَعْضٍ, and then you taste the violence of one another. As we see in our time today and for much of history, the countries fight other countries, and tribes fight other tribes, and nations fight other nations, and people fight other people. And so those people, this is also a type of punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the Muslims of Arabia that it's not shirk that I now fear upon you, but I fear the enmity that will arrive amongst you. And the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, don't turn around after me, meaning after my death, don't turn back that you start to fight one another and start to strike the necks of one another. So you find today Muslims fighting Muslims in their countries. They're fighting over power. They're fighting due to politics. They're fighting due to influence, whatever it may be, wealth or treasures or whatever it may be. They're fighting one another. Muslims are fighting Muslims. You find that on a small scale in families and in communities, and you find that on major scales on the scales of nations. And that is exactly what Allah Azza wa Jalla says, that Allah can punish people in many different ways. Don't think that these aren't punishments from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply because they're fighting over power or they're fighting over some wealth or some natural resources. These are also types of punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. انظر كيف نصرف الآيات. See how we explain our revelations to you. لعلهم يفقهون, that you may understand. The believer sees these things around the world and amongst them, and they make those connections with Allah Azza wa Jalla. They see the lessons of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas everyone else looks at the very same thing and they don't make those same connections. Allah Azza wa Jalla then says in verse number 66, وَكَذَّبَ بِهِ قَوْمُكَ وَهُوَ الْحَقُّ قُلْ لَسْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ بِوَكِيلٍ. Yet your people still reject it even though it is the truth. Say, I have not been put in charge of you. And so despite all of these signs from Allah Azza wa Jalla, everything that Allah has shown, your people are still in doubt. Your people still reject and deny. Why? It shows that they're not sincere in their seeking of the truth and in their seeking of guidance. قُلْ لَسْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ بِوَكِيلٍ. So say to them, I am not in charge of you. I'm not responsible for you. My role only is to convey the message, and it is for Allah Azza wa Jal to decide who is worthy of that message or not. And then in the final verse that we'll take today, verse 67, Allah Azza wa Jal then says, لِكُلِّ نَبَإٍ مُسْتَقَرْ وَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Every prophecy has its fixed time to be fulfilled, and you will come to realize this. Everything has its time. The punishment of Allah descending your lifespan upon this earth, when Yawm al-Qiyamah will take place, everything Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to it is fixed time. And Allah alone knows what that time is. And so when calamities befall, only Allah knows how long they will remain before they are lifted. And only Allah then knows how long of a time will pass before the next calamity comes. And only Allah Azza wa Jalla knows the timings and the durations of these things alone. وَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. And you will come to realize the truthfulness of this and its reality. And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.